number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We're live at the Duncan here at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane in Brentwood. You can come by and drop off a stuffed toy for our toy drive. And we look forward to seeing you and appreciate you doing that. The Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl is coming your way December 30th at 4:30 p.m. at Nissan Stadium. And we're excited that it is going to be Illinois taking on Tennessee. And we bring in Scott Ramsey now with the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. Scott, congratulations. I know you got to be excited about this matchup.
Yeah, we really are, Chase. Hope you guys are doing well today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We got the word last night that the Vols were going to be coming to town, and we just clapped because we know that's good for business.
Well, you know, it is. I think, you know, and if you put it in perspective a little bit, Chase, I think we've been very attentive to, hey, it's somewhat of a home game for them, and this is our 28th year, and this is only the fourth time they've played. But it just felt like this was a really good fit this year for them, and certainly have never played Illinois in the history of Tennessee football, and have a drivable fan base from Illinois on the Big Ten side, and to have the time slot we've got with ESPN this year on Tuesday, December 30th at 5:30 Eastern, 4:30 local, just a great way to kind of showcase both Tennessee and Illinois this year.
Talking to Scott Ramsey today. Scott, have Tennessee and Illinois ever played in football?
They have never played, Joe. It's this will be their first meeting of all time.
See, there's a storyline. And also, when Tennessee plays in Music City Bowl, there's always some sort of, not controversy, but it's a fun game. And 10, the game versus North Carolina was crazy.
Yep.
16 versus Nebraska was a lot of fun. Derek Barnett broke the sack record that game. They beat Nebraska. 21, the game versus Purdue was crazy football game. So when I saw Illinois and Tennessee, I'm like, this is going to be fun just because every time Tennessee is in this bowl game, it's chaotic and it's fun.
No, you're right. The three previous ones have all had major milestones. You know, you remember the 2010 game, Joe, was the one that changed the 10-second runoff rule when North Carolina kind of ran their kickoff team in there and took a offensive penalty to stop the clock and got the kickoff. So we've had a lot of dramatic activity during those three times since
right.
we've been here. And you know, also, I think you mentioned it, Chase, on the end. I appreciate, you know, Liberty Mutual stepping up for the first time this year. And to have a really a Fortune 100 company invest in Nashville and in our postseason really shows you kind of where Nashville's kind of ascended to in a national destination for sports events. And certainly I know we can get into and talk a lot about the status of postseason college football, but I think we ought to be proud if we live here in Nashville to have a company like Liberty Mutual invest, and we've got two really blue chip programs in Illinois and Tennessee, Big Ten, SEC rolling in here.
Well, and you mentioned, Scott, the programs and, you know, the players and everything, but I always think it's good when you get a good coaching matchup. Obviously, Josh Heupel, well respected around here as the Tennessee coach, but Brett Bielema, I mean, his personality, obviously, has been around the game for a long time. I mean, I think you have to be thrilled there with both coaches.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like at this point, and I know things can change, but for the most part, we're going to see the players that have played all season, at least almost all of them, play in the game. So as of right now, I haven't heard, and you guys maybe have and I haven't yet, but of any major opt-out. So, you know, I think from a fan standpoint, they're going to see two teams that they played with all year. They're both 8-4 in the Big Ten SEC kind of clash, and I think that's exciting for what we've tried to build here in Nashville the last 28 years with the bowl game.
Scott, tell me how to properly say it. The Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl, correct?
You got it. You got it.
All right, thank you, because, you know, I'm not very smart. How worried, Scott, when you start hearing teams opting out? I know you had your two fantastic teams coming here, but how worried do you get when they like, oh, we're not going to go?
Yeah, I disappointed, Joe. You know, I think at least those of us have kind of grown up with the bowl system. We understand where postseason's going and the playoff expansion and all that. But I do think when you look at and I've been able to see it from the inside, the enjoyment that especially the seniors that may go on to be lawyers and doctors and construction workers and architects and everybody else that play in their last game in a bowl game with their teammates, where they really kind of celebrated for a few days here in Nashville or any other city, has really been a great way to kind of end the college football season historically. And now to kind of see the whole shift in the whole postseason model is a little bit disheartening to some degree. When you've invested a lot like we have in Nashville and our bowl game and what it's meant. I know it's not the national championship game, but, man, we're really going to celebrate Tennessee and Illinois, and especially the seniors and the guys playing their last games here, and going to make a great experience for them. And hopefully the fans will fill it up and really enjoy a high-quality college football game.
You know, and they're treated so well. I mean, tell me how many players didn't enjoy the – you know, the rib eating contest and the hot chicken contest. I mean, yeah. It's everything. It's more than a game, right, Scott? It's more than it's the experience, well, and you're taking the experience away from these kids. That's why I'm so glad the work you and Jay and everybody have done at the Sports Council to making sure this bowl game is top notch, and it's absolutely top notch because of you guys.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. The staff works hard. We've got a lot of volunteers, and. And really, over the years, I think, you know, the hospitality industry, the hotels, the folks at Gaylord Opryland that host the teams. I mean, we get a lot of kids that come in that I think they have no idea, Joe, what they're about to experience at Gaylord Opryland Hotel. Indoor water park. You can walk around. You can take a boat ride in the middle of the hotel. You've got an incredible Christmas atmosphere. So just the experience as a whole is what we've tried to do. And certainly postseason has shifted in the 28 years we've been doing this. But, you know, hopefully Nashville will continue to have a great place in postseason college football as we look forward.
Scott Ramsey is with us from the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl, coming your way on December 30th at 4:30. Obviously this year is the focus, but I do want to ask, I mean, it is a little bittersweet. Next year will be the final edition at this version of Nissan Stadium.
Yeah.
I know you got some time to plan that, but how special is that going to be because of so much history at that building?
Yeah, you're right, Chase. I wish we could kind of plan it. I mean, right now we're kind of all on hold on kind of really where it's going to shift. I mean, we've seen the announcement that the CFP is going to make a decision on where they stay at 12 or expand to a bigger number in late January. Right now, this is a technically the end of our current contract that we signed in 2019. So I think kind of planning our final game at Nissan Stadium is also going to go hand in glove with kind of, you know, what our bowl game looks like and what all bowl games look like. You know, you got some things. If the CFP expands, you've got a 9-game SEC conference schedule coming in next year. So what does postseason look like? We're certainly hopeful that we can kind of make a great celebration at Nissan Stadium, which has been just a great home for us it'd be our 29th year there.
All right, Scott, I've told Chase and Mike Oregon, they know how powerful you are in our city. So is there any way – no, Scott, don't laugh this off. Is there any way you can get Chase and myself to dress up as the emu on bowl day? Can you pull the strings for that? We'd love to be the hang out with the emu and be the mascot that day.
Well, we may be able to get you in the tryouts, Joe, but you're going to have to work on your movement. I mean, you got to run the 100 quick. You got to be dodgy. You got to have some lateral movement to really kind of fit into that suit and kind of play that role. So while you think it's easy, I need you to kind of really kind of work on that training program between now and tryouts.
Well, I just missed the cut right there. When you said fast and lateral, I'm out. I'm done. But I threw my shot out there. God, I almost said the S word.
I was about to say, what were you trying to say?
I know where he was going, Chase.
There you go. Thank you for that.
Shoot or shoot. That's what you're trying
to say.
Yeah,
there we go.
Scott, we're excited for you, and I know we're going to be talking a lot more about this as the game gets closer. Joe and I will be there as well. But thanks so much for joining us today, and congratulations on a great matchup between Tennessee and Illinois.
You got it, guys. And I know we'll talk beforehand, but if not, I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Scott Ramsey with the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. Again, tickets are available now, 4:30 on December 30th at Nissan Stadium, and you can hear it right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back with more live from...
Hold on. Shoot my shot.
Yes, that's what you're trying to say.
Okay. Yeah. I almost said something else.
I know.
And thank you for stopping me.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're live today at Duncan in Brentwood, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane. You can bring a stuffed toy, donate it to a child this holiday season with the Nashville Children's Alliance. You can also qualify to win a four-pack of tickets to the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena to a Preds home game. Want to give a big shout-out to the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Calitano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Relidyne. For more information and a list of Duncan locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, just visit thegamenashville.com/toy. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday. We're live at Duncan, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane in Brentwood. You can bring by a stuffed toy. We just had a cool one get donated, Joe.
Yeah, a little 1983 L.A. Rams stuffed toy. I mean, like brand new, which I might take. I mean, it's that pretty cool. So I'm kidding. He's like, what? But, yeah, we'll take anything. I'm telling you, one toy can make a difference. So honored to be at all these Duncan locations throughout the week. Tomorrow we're going to be Duncan in East Nashville off Gallatin Road. But today we're out here in Brentwood, right where the Jeff Fisher Show used to take place across the street at the
Old
Charlie's.
That's right, which is now a Chewy's.
Chewy's, yeah.
Yep.
Did you ever come? Your dad ever take you out here?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
So we came I can't remember if it was the same show or – because so that particular year, my dad helped cater Titans Radio. The touchdown or end zone thing they did, and we did wings and all this stuff. And they were like, hey, you know, come by the Jeff Fisher Show and you meet Jeff and everything. And so we come by. He's like, hey, guys, good to see you. Thanks for coming out.
The wings are good.
The wings are good. But I got to meet – it was like David Thornton and Drew Bennett.
Oh,
so that
goodness.
Was a pretty cool show.
Yeah.
And obviously Jeff and everything, so – I was in high school.
Well done with that. Real quick shout-out to – we did the high school state championships this past weekend. Congratulations to our friend Kevin Creasy at Oakland High School for winning the 6A title for what seems like the 48th year. Congrats to Ravenwood to get there. Getting there is no small task. So congrats to Ravenwood for getting there, and Oakland beat them Saturday night. But really congratulations to Charles Rathbone at Page High School, the Page Patriots. That was their fifth consecutive high school state championship. They had lost four previous. I had talked to Coach Rathbone before, and it's just crazy how some pocket of people, you go to four straight state championships, still want you out. And I was so glad to see Coach Rathbone win the state championship. Great game Friday night, and the way they did it, last minute pass of the game. And they went by Craig Aukerman's son, caught the winning touchdown pass.
Oh, wow.
So really good moment for all the kids. Congrats to Paige. Congrats to Jeff Brothers at Nashville Christian. Congrats to BGA for winning their title on
Thursday.
Yeah. So all the teams that went down there and competed.
Oakland. You been in?
Oakland did. And Pearl Cone. I think Alcoa could beat half the NFL.
You're not kidding.
And they beat Pearl Cone on Saturday.
Like, Oakland and Alcoa are – two of those programs that literally just reload every year.
Yeah.
I saw Oakland firsthand this year against Pearl Cone. And I remember saying to Coach Spears, he said at the end of the game, he goes, one, Pearl Cone's not going to lose again unless it's at state. But he's like, they're not going to lose again.
He was right.
And he was right. And I said, I don't see anybody that can beat Oakland.
Green Hill had them down 17-7 with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they didn't panic. They put together a nice 80-yard drive in like 2 minutes. Defense stopped Green Hill back. They got the ball back, and they had an 80-yard touchdown run and won the game. So
you know what I think is
crazy.
The most dangerous thing for them, and I'll be curious if Coach Creasy's listening, what he would say to this comment. But I almost think, like, you have their – they have their blowouts. Like, they'll beat a team by 40, 50, whatever, and just absolutely blow them out. But I think what makes them stronger and gives them more confidence is when they do win the close games.
Sure, yeah.
Because I think that tests them.
Well,
and when you test them, they just get better.
Well, they beat Green Hill 21-17, and they beat Blackman 42-14. They beat Ravenwood 62-21. I mean, that's just how good this football team was. But anyway, congratulations to all the coaches, all the players. If you got there and you didn't win, still congratulations to you. That's a heck of a task to get there. But really happy for Charles Rathbone and Page for winning one. He's been to five straight, and you win one. Think how the narrative would have changed had the Bills won one. Just one.
Yeah.
Right. Had the Vikings won.
One.
Just one. Are there any other three times? The Bengals. Bengals have lost
Bengals.
Three.
Yep.
So you win one. The whole had the Titans won the Super Bowl.
I was about to say, like, look.
The whole narrative changes. Everything.
If the Titans had won that game in 99, I think Eddie George would be in Canton.
And one more.
Steve?
Yep. Not a doubt in my mind.
And I think it would have helped Derek's cause. I think it would have – I mean, there could be some others that it might have helped their cause.
Yeah. You right.
Know, Lorenzo Neal, I think there's a really big argument.
He would have been a Super Bowl champion. Did he not win one somewhere down the line?
I think he won one in Baltimore.
I don't remember. I thought he was part of something, one other. But
I mean, he played for.
But winning a Super Bowl changes the whole. I told you, John Gruden is Jeff Fisher, except he's got a Super Bowl championship and Jeff doesn't. That's the bottom line with all that. It changes everything. So
no, he didn't win one.
Had the Bengals won one of their three, you change the narrative on them. Had. The Vikings and the Bills won those. Anybody else lost three? And the Falcons have lost twice that have never won. Bills 4, Vikings 4, Panthers have lost 2.
Bengals have lost 3.
That have never won.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, Dallas has lost.
Jets have won 1.
How many have Dallas lost? 2?
They lost to the Steelers twice in the 70s.
And the Steelers, I think, have lost 2.
Steelers lost to the one, I think. No, twice. Cowboys and the Packers.
Arizona has lost 1. Titans have lost 1. San Diego or Chargers have lost 1.
Yep.
Eagles finally won, but they had lost.
They'd only lost 1 before that. They lost in 80 to the Raiders and haven't been back since. They won in 16.
No, they lost to the Patriots.
That's right, 0-4. You're right. Good job,
Jason. So they had lost 2 and then won 2.
But again, you see how it changes. You talk about everything. Had the Bills won just 1, I think they wouldn't have beat the Cowboys. But that game against the Giants, their first Super Bowl loss in 90, when Bill Parcells basically said, we're just going to hang around to the fourth quarter. And that's what they did. And then won the game. Hand the ball to Otis Anderson nonstop. Jeff Hostetler was a quarterback.
Yeah.
And Norwood barely misses that field goal. We've talked to Pete Weber about that. Because Pete, from his view, was like, that field goal is good. Because it went right to the side of the 47-yard and realized it wasn't good. So, yeah, it just changes everything when you go forward with your look back on your team.
Have the Rams, so you're just saying that have lost multiple and have never won.
Correct. Yep. Falcons, I think 3 is the – 2 hurts, 3 is the one, and then, of course, 4. Like 3 of the Bengals, 81, 88, and 21 didn't get there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the only – I'm thinking through. I can't
– without seeing in front of me, I mean, Baltimore won – I mean, the Browns have never been.
Washington's won a few. 3.
Yes. Yep. And been to
– Seattle's won 1, lost 1.
Yep. Man, they beat me one time in the Super Bowl so bad. First play of the game.
They should have, too.
Yes, which will lead into – we'll talk later during the week about play calling.
Yeah.
Right? I still think that was one of the worst play calls at the time.
Well, let's talk. We you know what? The Titans deserve a little bit of time.
Yes, they do.
So we'll talk about that coming up next. Adam says, if we win that Super Bowl, there's a very good chance that we repeat the next year, and then a lot of dudes get in, including Javon, Eddie, Blaine, Samari, Del Greco, Hopkins, but we didn't, and, of course, Mac. That's a good point. Yep. I mean, if they go back-to-back, or even if they win one and go back to the AFC Championship game, or back to the Super Bowl, like it changes the narrative.
100%.
On a lot of things. 615-737-1025. We're live at Duncan in Brentwood today for our toy drive. Come by, bring a stuffed toy. We've already had a few people do that throughout the show. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're live at Duncan in Brentwood. You can come by and drop off a stuffed toy for our toy drive. The Titans get the win yesterday, which, look, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole, oh, it messes up the draft order and everything.
Right?
You're
good
still,
Lord.
You're still, I mean, even beating the Saints, I still think they're going to get a top five pick.
Right.
So, you know, celebrate the win. Because those guys did go up there and really, really fight and won the game. Now, I was getting a little nervous there at the end, but, you know, Kevin Stefanski and his dumb play calling, I think, helped some of that. But, you know, special teams, they blocked a punt for the first time since 2012.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and begrudge a win. There's no such thing as a bad win or an ugly win. It's a win. And so they got a win. Good job for the Titans. Going the, I mean, it's hard to win in the National Football League.
Yeah.
And they went up there and got the job
on the road, especially.
I'm still not sure what Cam Ward, 13 games in, I'm still not sure about Cam Ward overall and his progression of a quarterback. But, again, it's a bad football team that – it's doing the best they can to win games, and they won the game yesterday. And Tony Pollard with a nice game. The defense stepped up. But Kevin Stefanski, that two-point call yesterday, I'm not one of these, you got to fire him, but why would you call that? Just a terrible – was Judkins supposed to ladder the ball back?
I guess.
I read something like that. Was he was supposed to do that? But and, why would you take your hot quarterback out?
I wouldn't – that was where I was going to go. Like, why would you take – your quarterback off the field when he's played well. I'm going to say this, too, and this is a discussion for another day. I know he's not perfect, and there's obviously still things he needs to work on. But head-to-head yesterday, watching him versus Cam, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm
Do
talking about?
Do we need to have this conversation?
I was just like.
Too late now.
I was like, oh, boy.
I think Shador's got a hell of an arm. Look, I told you, we watched him in college. That one Colorado game when they played, I forget who they played against. My God. He got, was it Nebraska? I don't remember what it was. He got beat on every pass. Shador, and he stood there and delivered. And you get all lost. Well, he's Deion, he's brash and all that stuff. I think he's a good quarterback. And I think if they go back to Gabriel or Deshaun Watson, they're dumb. Just keep him in there, let him do it. I had no problem with him yesterday. That's why they took him out. I was like, what are we doing here? Why is it happening? But I thought the Titans had the best troll job all year long. Did you see it?
No.
When Judkins fumbled and Cedric Gray picked it up, the fumble, and he got tackled, they ran to the end zone to celebrate. They all did the celebration with the watch that showed
up.
It was brilliant. It was simple, and it was great right in their face.
Cedric Gray might be Rand Carthon's bright spot.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? The blue dot guy or the green
pretty
dot?
Pretty good. He's gotten better.
Yep. He had a bad year last year. Just a lot of injuries, things that are going on. But he's number 33. He's not bad. Always around the football. So they got to win. Congratulations. And I'm not going to get on here and say, well, they got to do this. They won the game. They won the game on the road. Good for them.
Justin Greenbrier says, I know yesterday was a good game for the Titans, but it drives me absolutely crazy when a coach goes out and just tries not to lose and just run the ball and punt it back. Mike McCoy is in a tough spot, but he is not helping his own case with the dog mess game management.
Right.
I mean, look, he's not getting the job.
Right. So imagine working at a place for the next 30 days that you know you're not going to be retained.
Right.
Right? So it's not fun. It's not a fun world.
What do the Titans do if the game against the Saints is for the first pick in the draft? Wouldn't it be crazy to watch with neither team wanting to really win? You know what they do, Randy? That's from Randy. they go out there and try and win the game.
Right.
Because if they go out there and try and lose the game, then not only am I firing the coaching staff immediately, I'm cutting every player on the team.
Yep.
Because that's not why you do this.
Exactly right.
As Herm Edwards once famously said, you play to win the game.
And all we have to do is ask the guy that comes on after us.
Yeah.
You ever been in a locker room that told you not to win? He starts laughing. He's like, no locker room's ever been told not to win.
Right.
Now, that idiot Dolphins owner told Brian Flores to tank, and Flores was like, I'm not doing that, and he got mad at him. Nobody – if you want to lose, you're a loser.
Right.
You're an absolute loser. If you want your team to lose, you are a loser. No athlete wants to lose. So stop this. Whether you pick first, fourth, 19th, or 27th, stop.
By the way, the memes continue with Notre Dame.
Oh, no. What's the latest one?
There's one that's a screenshot of a text message, and it's from manager. And the manager says, where are you? And it's just a picture of Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. And the manager goes, what does that mean? And the guy responds with, it means I'm declining to show up.
All right. I like also the one from Rudy when they're all laying the jersey out. And it's the Notre Dame players opting out. They're all, like, for the movie, they're, like, laying the jersey down. I'm telling you, the internet is undefeated when it comes to things like this. So many great memes that are going on. But my favorite one is the guy tapping the sign and says, I've decided to opt out of playing like a champion today.
My favorite one is the one I can't read.
Read it. Just me and Dr. Crane and a few people around.
let's go back to the phones. Reno wants to weigh in on the playoff. Reno, what's up?
What's up? What's up, Paulie? Hey, do they ever look at rank of schedule? Because when I looked at it, you see Miami and Notre Dame at 42 and 43 at 10 and 2. Why are they even considerate when you have Vanderbilt 10 and 2 that had an 18th ranked schedule compared to theirs?
That's a good question.
I think Bobby is to win the Heisman. His numbers prove it by far. It's not even close. And so Sanders is going to get screwed twice because he's not going to win it, and they got bumped out of the playoffs. And I just think it's ridiculous.
Preach on. Yeah, you're exactly right, Reno. Thank you for that. I just think, yeah, I still think Bobby is the best Heisman Trophy candidate in the country, and he will not win on Saturday. He'll come in second. I hate it. I really hate it.
Scott in Franklin wants to weigh in on the Titans and the bowl system. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. So this is sort of a two-fold question. I'll try to be brief. I'm a Georgia Southern alum, and I'm going to ask about two things regarding that. One, they made a blip on the national radar last night because, as Brett McMurphy reported, they were like one of the final bowl recipients at the Birmingham Bowl trying to find somebody to play them. The 6-6 teams, I think, had been spoken for. So 7-5-7 Power 4 teams said thanks, but no thanks. FSU, Central Florida, Auburn. And then they finally are having to play App State, which is a rematch, which is crazy. So, A, is the bowl system just kind of dead for all intents and purposes? And then my second question about Georgia Southern is, how do you feel that Daryl Baker Jr. is doing this year? I know he's never going to be a luxurious need as far as elite talent, but I think he's holding the fourth down pretty well, and he's been thrown some dimes that he just can't really cover any better. So just if you could answer the college thing and the pro thing, sorry for the long question, but I'll hang up if you want me to hang up.
All right, thank you, Scott. The bowl system's still fun. It certainly doesn't have the oomph like it used to because of the playoff, and that's unfortunate for a team like a Georgia Southern or, you know, a bowl like the Music City Bowl, which,
sure,
you know, we just had Scott Ramsey on who said that, I mean, I don't know what the future looks like. I think a lot of people that run bowls and host bowls and have for a long time don't really know the answer to that question. I still think they're important. It gives your players something to play for. And here's the hard part with college football. And I don't know if you've ever looked at it like this. In the NFL, 32 teams start the year thinking they can win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Now, some are more realistic than others. at the beginning of college football season, they're all going to tell you that their goal is to win a national championship. But how many D1 programs are there? Like
136, I think.
Okay, so probably 120 don't have a chance.
Easily.
And they know that.
Easily, yeah.
And so it's like the bowl game is that carrot that you can dangle. Like, you know, I'm not going to say a particular program, but there are some programs where it's like, I love you, but – you know, when you kick the ball off to start the season, you're not winning a national championship.
Yeah, right. And as far as teams opt, I don't understand opting out. Iowa State got a new coach, Kansas State got a new coach, and I guess there's logistic problems there and guys that have entered the portal, they declare they're going to go. I understand that. What was it last year? Marshall couldn't do it because so many guys had declared for the portal and they weren't going to get in. But good for the Big 12 for fining Kansas State and Iowa State for not getting in there. If Iowa State, you're mad your coach left, be proud you had a coach that somebody else wanted. I know Kansas State, their coach retired. They got a new guy coming in there. But I don't get it why you want to sit out a bowl game. It's reward. Now, if you're five, I think you deserve it. So 5-7, like Mississippi State going to the Duke's Mayo Bowl, they didn't deserve it. But it's not their fault because the way the landscape is laid out now, somebody's got to play in that game, and so they're going at 5-7. Maybe 5-7 is the new 6-6. Maybe that's what it is now. I don't know. I just don't understand why you don't want to go to a bowl game. When Scott Ramsey talked earlier about, you know, coming here, stay at the Gaylord Music City or the Gaylord Opryland Hotel, the water park, the fun, the events, everything that goes on, the swag bag, all the things you get, I don't understand why you're not playing in the bowl game. So good for Appy State. Good for Georgia Southern. His other question was about Daryl Baker Jr. for the Titans. Look, Daryl Baker Jr. is a great story. Undrafted. Bounced around a few teams in the National Football League. And he lands here at Tennessee. He's doing not bad, right? He was with Arizona, with the Colts. Give him the opportunity. We talked about that with Chris Sanders about this. You now, these 7-8 games during the season when they're eliminated, put your stuff on a resume tape. Go out there and play. Show you want to belong. Chris Sanders had a good thing yesterday about Mike Borgonzi looking at players. What's your body language, right?
Yeah.
How are you doing in practice? Can you help us do anything when going forward? There's a lot at stake here. So Daryl Baker Jr., I love the story. I love undrafted guys in the National Football League. I loved it when Drew Bennett made the team here. I love Reed Blankenship from MTSU on the Eagles. You're a walk-on in the NFL. Hell, it's hard enough to make a team as a walk-on in college, but you're a walk-on in the National Football League, and guys get to that level, good for him. So I hope Daryl Baker Jr. can continue to develop and get better and better and become a great player for the Titans.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to tell you more about what we're doing with the Nashville Children's Alliance here all this week. Meredith Luckett, who is the Director of Development from the Nashville Children's Alliance, is going to join us. Coming up next, live at Duncan in Brentwood, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday. We're live at Duncan here in, I almost said Cool Springs, Brentwood, right off Old Hickory Boulevard. So you can bring a stuffed toy to help in with the Nashville Children's Alliance. This is our charity of choice this year, and we're excited to be lined up with them and helping out with all of this this year. Let's say hello to Meredith Luckett. She's the Director of Development with the Nashville Children's Alliance. Meredith, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We are doing fantastic. We're excited to be partnered up with you all this year to have people come by these different locations and donate stuffed toys for such a great cause.
Thank you so much. If you don't mind, I would love just to share a little bit about NCA and what you guys are supporting.
Absolutely. We love that. Yeah, go ahead. Do we have Meredith, you were kind of breaking up a little bit. I don't know if it's on our end or your end.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay, perfect. So sorry about that. We serve children who have experienced abuse with partnership with the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Department of Children's Services, the DA's office, all these different entities to make sure that children get the support and services they need. And these stuffed animals in particular go to children whenever they come to our office for a forensic interview, which is basically the interview that an adult would do at a police station, a victim. The children come to our office, and our interviewers will talk with them. And after their interview, they get to pick out a stuffed animal to take home with them. And this is our way of empowering children who have had their choice taken from them. So these stuffed animals are invaluable to us and to these kiddos.
Well, with that being said, you've seen the look on faces of kids that do get these, and you know, and to people to come in, and we've had plenty of people come by today and donate toys and put them in there, and just like, you understand the look on a kid's face when they get a toy when they think they're not getting one. And Mary, you've seen this, right, firsthand, how important it is?
We have. Our clients appreciate these and value these so much. We've actually had kiddos who have graduated from our program, then come back for a check-in now that they're in college, and they bring that stuffed animal back with them for their visit. It means so much more than just a toy or a stuffed animal. This is a connection and a choice for them.
If somebody cannot get one of the Dunkin' locations around town, what's the best way to donate if they want to donate money, toys? What's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
Sure. They can visit our website. It's NashvilleChildrensAlliance.org, or reach out to us through any of our social media channels. We are always happy to chat with folks, give them a tour of our office. They could stop by with brand new stuffed animals. Our office, we're in the Metro Family Safety Center next to the police headquarters. We encourage anyone to reach out if they're interested in learning more.
And let's make people know, the work doesn't stop on December 25th, right? I mean, this is 365, 24/7.
It is. We are the only nonprofit in Nashville that does this work. Just to give a reference point, in the last year, our team reviewed over 2,000 cases of severe child abuse. And that's just in Nashville alone.
Mm. Well, we're glad we can partner up with you and help these kids in need, especially this time of year, but really all year long. Meredith, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to getting the word out all this week.
Thank you so much. This is a privilege for us. We're really grateful.
Absolutely. That is Meredith Luckett. She's the Director of Development with the Nashville Children's Alliance. And again, you can go to thegamenashville.com/toy to find out more information on the Dunkin' locations where you can drop off a stuffed toy and where we're going to be all this week. We'll come back with John McClain. A big win for Houston last night. And it looks like a team might not be making the playoffs this year, and I'm not talking about the Titans. We'll talk to John coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.